The Epistle of 3 John in the back of your Bible. The first thing we're going to do is read through it together. So you can either read on it or follow along up here. But I'd like us to read in unison. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have great joy then to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for the strangers who have borne witness of my for the church, if you send them forward on your journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius was a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. We also bear witness that you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly. We shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friend greet you. Greet my friends by name. Amen. Interesting little book. I'm going to quickly just go through this and just talk about it and what is in this, these 14 verses. Do you have an outline? Anybody want an outline that doesn't have an outline? Anybody? I see one hand in the back, so we'll get that. And I think we just took care of that one hand. Okay, anybody else? All right. The first one, all I'm trying to do here is just kind of give us a good sense of it, and we'll come back and just talk about some principles from this, some application to this brief book. The perseverance of Gaius, the exhorter. Now, look at what it says. John prays for Gaius. I misspelled that when I typed, but 3 John 1 and 2, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So what he was saying, it was a tremendous compliment to this man. He's saying, you are obviously a spiritual man. You are obviously walking with the Lord, and I pray that you're physically doing as well as you are spiritually. What a wonderful thing to be able to say to another. Now, the point here is he goes on, and now John praises, I don't know, this was a mistake. I can't believe I did it, but it copied all the way through. Gaius, he has been faithful to God's message. Notice what he says then in verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So he was a preacher of the truth. He was not distorting the message. He was not setting it aside. He was telling it the way it ought to be told. And so he was praised for that. Yes? It definitely implies that he was an elderly man of respect, and most likely implies that he was a church leader, but it doesn't really give us anything to tie it to. There definitely is some reasons to argue for that he was a church leader of Ephesus specifically. And then he goes on, he has been faithful to God's messenger. So he was faithful to the message, but notice how faithful he was to the messengers. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. That's a sweet thought, by the way. He is just a hospitable person, and John was praising him for it, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. You know, this little phrase right here is talking about more than just hosting them well while they're with you. It is saying, I remember my father-in-law and my mother and father used to do this when Pam and I would come back home to either one of those homes. When we would leave with a trunk full of other things, other groceries or other treats for the ride. They sent them on their way. Now, this was particularly important in this day and age, because in this day and age, there weren't McDonald's at every other exit. You know, there weren't hotels at every exit, so they were basically on their own. And that's a fairly significant thought. Oops, did I get it to the end of it? Verse 7. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Now, that's an interesting phrase, too. They were going and they were refusing. If you weren't a believer, they weren't taking the help. And we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. All right, what does 8 say? Well, it says that John, from John's perspective, if you help the ones that are going forth to spread the message, you are part of the good cause. You will be recognized for serving with them, and that's a good thing. By the way, we do that when we have missionaries in and we take a love offering for them and we give them some money for speaking when being with us. That helps defer their expenses as they go to the next church. You know, that's the same concept. He was not only, he praises them, but he was faithful for the messenger, and then he will visit him in the near future. I'm jumping down to verse 13 and 14 to continue with John's plans for Gaius. Too bad I copied that, but I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly. And we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends. Greet you. Greet the friends by name. He will visit him in the near future. So he had plans for Gaius. He was looking forward to being with him. That's all it was saying. He wasn't going to write anymore. He had a better idea. Let's just fellowship together when I get there. Now, I'm going back to the third breakdown of this, the pride of this particular man who was obviously a church leader, and he had an ego problem, and he was very evil. Okay, now let's just look at what it says about this man. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them. Okay, so the first thing, John indicts the church member on 6 accounts. And this guy is in the church, and he obviously is a prominent person, because the very first thing it said about it is that he demands to occupy a leading space, who loves to have the preeminence among them. He was always wanting to be in the center of attention, and John said, this guy has got some issues, and you got to be careful how you're interacting with him. It's a warning. You got to be careful, even within the church, who is preeminent, who is stepping forward, what are their motives? The second part that he points out as evil is his refusal to receive John himself, not only who loves to have the preeminence among them and does not receive us. John was saying that he doesn't accept us. How wicked could it be? You know, this is one who had literally been the dear, beloved disciple of Jesus Christ, and this member or leader in the church would not receive him, probably because of his fear of not having as much preeminence. And then his slander of other apostles. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. What he's really saying is he was gossiping and saying wicked things. And John was not impressed and said, there's going to be a day of accounting. Reminder, isn't it? To be careful of our words. Then the sixth was he had an utterly wicked character. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. In other words, not only wasn't he receiving the messengers, he was really going after, from a discipline standpoint, anyone that did and said, that's against the church and you ought to be thrown out of this body. He obviously had a lot of control. He also had some very wicked motives because he didn't want to share the preeminence with anybody. Okay, now this is the exhortation proclaimed. I write to you about him, and it comes down here. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Now, this is really interesting. It was interesting to me, at least. This is all in the context of a local church. He is saying that this evil exists. There's someone who has pretty prominent leadership and is not having a good heart. He is all about himself and is not about the work, not about the other believers, not about furthering the message, furthering the cause of Christ. His associates, now we're talking about our personal associates, hold him in highest esteem. We're going back. Demetrius, this is another man that is in the church, has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And then the apostles hold him in the highest esteem. So this is the body of believers, and now it is the apostles. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. And they're saying, what? They're bearing witness of this man, and saying, this man, not the guy that's preeminent in your group, but this other man, he is a godly man. And we bear witness to that just like you're saying he does. I think the implication is maybe you ought to switch leadership here. The benediction. This, by the way, is the 15th verse in some of the new English, new translations, but it's the 14th in the King James, the New King James. Peace to you, my friends, our friends. Greet you, greet the friends by name. And that's how John ended the book. Now, what we're going to talk about after we take prayers, prayer requests, and pray over them, we're just going to come back and ask ourselves, what principles are found in this brief book of the Bible? And second of all, what applications could we make for our own practice here, our own walk with the Lord? Amen? The Word of God is timeless, and there are some important principles for us, so... They were greeting strangers with love and warmth, and other messengers, other servants of the Lord. A great important truth. We need to be known by our love. Amen? Others. Anyone else? James. Okay, what mic do you have? What color is it? Yeah, amen. Is that mic on?
It's on down here, but...
It is now. He had it off up there. Jerry, Edlin?
I like the way John named these people. He didn't talk behind their backs. He just said... Demetrius and the other guy. And yeah, he complimented one and he reprimanded another.
Right, and yet he, the one man was talking and murmuring and doing that behind their back. So what a difference from the apostles' approach. Anyone else? And up in front, Susan has her hand raised.
We're all to be fellow workers in getting out the gospel. Not just expecting leaders in the church to do it, but everybody.
Yes, they were joining together in this cause. Okay, Ruth?
The fact that he did not find fault with Demetrius, but allowed... that could have caused division in the church, but he was going to handle it properly without causing more contention, because many times when there is a negative from one person, people take sides. And he created a situation where there wasn't anybody taking sides.
He stated the facts clearly, and it was just putting them out there and saying he would deal with them to get there. Dave?
I was just going to say, he makes it clear in verse 11 that we're to intentionally discern what is good and imitate that, not the evil.
Yep. Okay, because we only have a few minutes left, I am going to take back the floor here. Christian hospitality is an important virtue. We need to remember that always. I'm telling you, in a neighborhood like ours, we need to be prepared to welcome anybody that comes in the door with the love of Christ. No matter where they're coming from, we greet them with that. And we come along and try to help them and encourage them. Number two, those who minister are dependent upon those who support their ministry. You remember in the midst of that, he was saying they were gathering their funds and being sent on. There was a participation of the body in the ministry. It wasn't just the other guy and take care of yourself, bud. It was coming along and they were helping the missionaries go forward. Those who support a missionary are rewarded by God. That was the end, I can't remember, I think it was the eighth verse, where he talked about and praised them for coming together. And by the way, you're partaking in the ministry. And you really are. We are partaking in the ministries that we support around the world. They're our missionaries. They're going forward for us. And that is a blessing and a tremendous important reminder for us. Pride and gossip are sin. This man was arrogant. He wanted the preeminence that was so important to him. That was where he was starting. And obviously not where John was starting. John didn't think much of that option. And then the church people, leaders are just as capable of sin as other people. And that's why our Lord and the Word of God, he needs to be all of our standards. I have a responsibility as a pastor, for sure, to live a godly life and live an example. But all of us need to recognize we are not going to find our strength in that. We're going to find our strength in God. Because everybody's vulnerable. So we need to make sure we build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Practical applications. In light of the time, you're just getting them, rather we're us discussing them. Open your home to other people when the circumstances enable you to do so. That is less and less and less and less something we do in our culture. We need to do it more and more and more and more. I was a little bit saddened, but I understood. Same time I understood. But Connus came to my house today, and my nieces, my granddaughters were in the house, and they did right. I was in the other room, but they had him wait outside. They didn't know him, and in that respect, it was responsible. And I don't mean that wrong, but I'm telling you, it did hurt my heart when I recognized that they left him out on the porch and then came and got me. There wasn't a warmth, and he wouldn't have felt. Yeah, he did, I trust, when I got there. But the girls were being appropriately cautious. And I had just been studying. I was reviewing this passage, and it was very clear to me that there was an example. Now, in our culture, these young girls did exactly what they should have. They kept them outside because they didn't know what was going on. So they did right. But how our culture is, because of the crimes and the sins, we're not the warmest culture that you ever can run into here. We've got to be careful. We've got to be safe. We've got to teach our children to be safe. So I surely didn't reprimand my girls, my granddaughters. I just went about greeting Connus with warmth. But I'm telling you what, it's important. It's easy to feel like you're an outsider. Assist other people in ministry when you're able to. He was praising them for doing so, and he's saying, send them on their way. And it wasn't in a negative sense. He said, he was implying, send resources with them. And the way I took that in context, be grateful for the Lord's rewards when you help other ministries. Just recognizing, we ought to be rejoicing, and that's what I was trying to say by that statement. We ought to be rejoicing in the ministries of others that we're participating in. And be discerning about the spiritual integrity of those in spiritual leadership. This church that he was writing to, this group of believers, obviously had a problem because they allowed this one man to be in a prominent position enough so that he was throwing others out of the ministry. When it was so evident to John that this guy was not of the Lord and was not walking properly. And beware of the insidious temptations to pride that comes with positions of leadership and influence. That's a warning in this book. Be careful of leadership. If we're in leadership for a season, when we rejoice in it, we humbly serve. If we're removed from it, we just rejoice in the fact that it's God's season. And we go forward together. We still labor together, just in a different capacity. Some thoughts from the book of 3 John. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. I was going to sing one more hymn, but we'll just close in light of it being 8 o'clock. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We've brought before several prayer requests. Some of them are quite serious. Some of the situations with the children, with the families that were mentioned. Father, I pray, we need you to do a powerful work, and we plead with you to do so. And Father, I think of the physical health of some, like Brother David. I pray that you'd give him a quick healing, a special healing touch on him, even tonight. And for others, I think of J.R. being with us. It still needs to be strengthening. And I think of Brother, there are so many in our work, it's dangerous for me to be mentioning them, but I just ask you, Father, that you would help those that are in physical need. Lord, it hinders our work when we are struggling with our physical well-being. And so I pray that, I think of Brother Jerry, and I ask you to heal his knees. But Lord, we want to be vibrantly working and serving you. We pray for souls. We pray that we might have the privilege of either personally or hearing of others leading people to Christ this very week. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.